Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 18. The great value of Jeremiah's personal struggle with his persecutors or persecutions. Though Jeremiah rightly handled being persecuted by the chief officer of the temple, Pashur, at the time the persecution occurred, later in private, the incident bothered him, creating a struggle of faith in the prophet. We view that struggle in Jeremiah 27:18 in light of its context in the rest of Scripture for edifying insight. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 20, beginning at verse 7 and going to 18. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance upon them. For unto thee I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A male child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great within me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Okay, this is Jeremiah having the blues big time. Jeremiah initially privately complained to the Lord about the persecutions that he had faced in verses 7 through 10. After interacting with Pashur, Jeremiah privately complained to the Lord that God had deceived him in letting him be ridiculed by Pashur and the people for his message. Now, Jeremiah had known from the beginning that all his hearers would oppose him. In fact, God told him that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. But God had not told him that he was also going to be ridiculed. And that was especially horrible for Jeremiah to face. In our culture, being ridiculed in public is not a happy thing. In an Oriental culture, it is just about as bad as death. Being publicly ridiculed by people, you almost want to die in an Oriental culture. So this was a horrendous difficulty for Jeremiah. Being beaten would be one thing, but to be ridiculed was worse. So Jeremiah added that whenever he spoke, he cried out, proclaiming violence and destruction, but speaking this message of the Lord had only brought him insult and reproach all day long. Well, discouraged by it all, Jeremiah considered not even mentioning the Lord or even speaking of his name again. However, trying to do that only created an intolerable tension, as the word of God within him was like a fire shut up in Jeremiah's bones, to where he would be weary of holding it in, so he would speak. Incidentally, I've had this experience many times as a pastor. The Lord has a passage and he wants you to teach on it, and I'm thinking, oh no, I don't want to do this again, because the last time we taught on this, there was this reaction, and you don't want to do it. But it's like the word of God within is like a burning fire, and you have to speak. The Lord drives you to it, so it's something you have to do. To complicate matters, Jeremiah heard many people whispering Magor Misabib, which means terror on every side. And that was mocking Jeremiah's message to Pashur that the Lord called him Magor Missabib in judgment for rejecting God's message to Judah through Jeremiah. In other words, Jeremiah had given that name to Pashur to get him concerned or worried, but the people heard it, and so they were ridiculing Jeremiah, calling him that name. Well, even Jeremiah's friends were watching for him to slip up, perhaps by uttering a wrong prediction, so they could take revenge on him as a false prophet and thus kill him. See, what a false prophet, what was supposed to happen to a false prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, is that he was supposed to be killed. He's supposed to be executed. So even his friends were looking for an opportunity to kill him. This is bad. Your friends want to kill you. And that by waiting for him to trip up, make a mistake, say something that would be outlandish, and then they could take him and kill him. They could stone him to death. So this is rough. This is a rough situation that Jeremiah was facing. Well, nevertheless, by returning to rely on the Lord, Jeremiah shifted from dismay to hope in verse 11. He acknowledged that the Lord was with him as a mighty warrior so that his persecutors would stumble instead of their seeing Jeremiah slip up so that they would not overcome him. That's Jeremiah 20:11a. And then the prophet's foes would not succeed and their dishonor would never be forgotten. That was a hope that Jeremiah had. So he had to live by faith just as we have to live by faith today in facing the trials that we face. Well, Jeremiah then called on the Lord of hosts who tested men's hearts and who saw what was in them to render vengeance for him on his enemies. For Jeremiah was committing his cause to the Lord. And incidentally, that's what we're supposed to do if we're wronged. And verse 12, but O Lord of hosts that triest the reign, the righteous, and seest the reins, that would be the emotional part of the person in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened up my cause. That's the way to handle it. Just turn it over to the Lord. Well, Jeremiah followed this prayer request to the Lord with an outburst of praise, trusting that God had delivered him and his life as a needy man from the hand of evildoers. It's interesting that God had told him back in Jeremiah chapter 1 that God was with him to rescue him so that no one would actually kill him. He would be mistreated. He faced close to death threats several times in his life. We're going to find out in the future. But no one actually killed him. In fact, Jeremiah was taken forcibly near the end of his life by godless believers, godless Jews in his era. He was forcibly taken down to Egypt, where we presume that he died there eventually. But anyway, he was not killed by people. However, after this prayer request and this praise, the prophet then lapsed into a struggle of unbelief because he was discouraged over the mocking. If you've been through a trial, you know what this is like. There are moments when you have your ups, when you're trusting the Lord. And then there are moments you get away from that, and all of a sudden it hits you, the trial again. And then you go, boom, down again. You know, the emotional, boom, down, up, down, up, down. And this is what the prophet was going through. He cursed the day that he was born, and he who brought his father news that he had been born. Have you ever been that, wishing, why did God ever allow me to be born? Another famous line is, I'm sure my mom and dad have adopted me. I really wasn't born into this family. They're just holding out on me. They're not letting me know. They really don't like me because I'm adopted. They're just holding out. That kind of, I think probably every child's been through that. Well, Jeremiah desired that this man would be, the man who brought his father good news, would be like the cities the Lord overthrew without pity. That'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. That he might hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon because he'd not killed Jeremiah in the womb, making his mother his womb so that her womb would be forever great for not letting Jeremiah be born. Ooh, pretty strong. The prophet then asked why he was born to see toil, sorrow, and spend his days in shame. See, that's what's really eating at him, the shame, the ridicule. That's what's gotten under Jeremiah and is eating at his craw, so to speak. He could take the beating. You know, he could take people not liking him or hating him, but the shame, the open shame, that was painful. Well, this deep struggle between faith and unbelief in Jeremiah the prophet may humanly seem to make his effort to serve the Lord a futile exercise. But Jesus changes the tune in Matthew chapter 5 in his Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Jesus says, I have a red letter edition, so these are all in red letters. These are words of Jesus. Verse 11 of Matthew 5, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, that's saying bad things about you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. The word exceeding glad in Greek is hilarios. We get the word hilarious from it. But hilarios. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets, like Jeremiah, which were before you. Jesus later told his disciples how blessed they were when men reviled and persecuted them and said all sorts of evil things against them falsely for his sake. Such believers were to rejoice and be glad when experiencing such persecution, for great was their reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, like Jeremiah, who were before them. So, in other words, in view of eternity, all of Jeremiah's persecution sufferings worked for an enormous reward from God that would last forever, in striking contrast to the destinies of his persecutors. To think of Jeremiah being beaten, every lash that comes down across the back, wham! There's that much more reward up in heaven for him. And in fact, the reward there is so great that the lash isn't even worthy to be compared to that suffering. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians. So every mock, every person who mocked him, there was a special reward in heaven for that. And that reward is going to last forever, in striking contrast to the destinies of his persecutors. A lot of his persecutors, probably nearly all of them, are going to end up in hell. They're not going to have any reward, and they're going to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Jeremiah, 10 trillion years from now, if you can put a timeline, is still going to have those rewards. So who's the loser in this case? Certainly not Jeremiah. The people who are persecuting Jeremiah are the losers. The one who's the winner is Jeremiah. We have to look at life from God's perspective, put on our eternity speckles. And when we look at life from God's vantage point of eternity, it sheds a completely different value system and upon the entire situation. So, Jeremiah suffered a lot of pain under persecution. What he struggled to counter by a life of faith in God's final vindication and an awareness of the Lord's present help amid persecution. However, Jesus revealed the great eternal reward one obtains from God for such persecution, making it a blessing for one to face. I think of Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42. This is an experience that the apostles had. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were actively involved in ministering for the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 40 and going to verse 42, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, this is the Sanhedrin, they had beaten the apostles, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they, that's the apostles, departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Once again, shame in an Oriental culture is the worst possible thing. But they were counted worthy. Not everybody gets the opportunity to suffer this way. If you get to suffer this way, you're in a special group. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. If they were going to get whipped again, didn't matter. They were going to keep preaching because they were under command from God to preach So, in application, may we handle difficult, unjust persecution, not only by trusting God to deal justly with it in the end, and noting God's help in the present persecution, but also knowing our reward in heaven is great for facing such trouble.